So we're in the middle of a series titled Created to Dream. We are in week four of a six-week series. And today we're going to talk about how to be persistent in our faith. You may have a dream, something you've wanted to happen in your life, and it hasn't happened yet. So we're going to talk about how to deal with the discouragement and how to persist in our faith. Before I jump into the message, I want to do a quick review of last week's in-home video material. And here it is. Rick Warren shared six ways that we can make wise decisions. I thought this was amazingly practical. Number one, he says, before you make a decision, just pray about it. Say, God, what do you want me to do? Number two, get the facts. Sometimes we got to research it and say, well, what's the scenario really look like? Number three, ask for good advice or ask for advice. You know, the Bible says that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. You know what that means? If you ask solid people you trust, who you believe in, let me tell you, many a good counsel has come through other people's lives to me when I ask them for advice. Number four, count the cost. Take a look at what it's going to cost, not just financially, but relationally and emotionally. You factor in, what's this going to cost me? It's like Jesus talked about, if you're going to build a barn, you want to know what the end game is and what the end result is, what the cost will be. And finally, this is a big one. Face your fears. We often give up our dreams because of the fears inside us. And there comes a time when God calls us to go after something, to believe in, to have a purpose to live for. We got to push past the fears of, what if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? And we have to face those fears. So I thought those were amazing principles to think about when you have to make a big or a small decision. There's a verse in your sermon listening guide, and I'll have Jake put up the title of the message first. Go ahead. We are created to dream, and the title is Persisting in Faith. How is it that you and I can hang in there to have God fulfill a dream through us and in us? Read with me Hebrews 12:1 in your notes. We have around us many people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. Here's what the chapter 12, verse 1 verse really means. We have people who are examples to us. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter of our heroes in the Hall of Fame are people like Abraham, people like Moses, people like David. And we look at their lives of how they were persistent. They weren't willing to throw in the towel when things got rough or a mistake was made. They stuck with it. And here's what the writer says. Never give up. If you have a dream in your life, never give up. Keep at it. Keep after it. Because God will come through to help us. Now, the problem is, we often get this thing called discouraged. If you're here this morning and you are discouraged in any area, you picked a good Sunday to come to church. I want to share a message of how to finish what you start when you feel like giving up. If you're here this morning and life is rough in a certain area and you just want to kind of throw in the towel or you don't know if you can make it, I'm glad you're here. And so here's the slide, how to finish what you start when you feel like giving up. So this is what I want to do. I want to share four simple thoughts of how to deal with discouragement and this emotion of, I kind of want to stop for whatever reason. Let's get started. Number one, the first point about how to finish what you start when you feel like giving up is this. Remove any distractions. Remove any distractions. Now, read with me verse 12, or chapter 12, Hebrews 12, 1b. Let's read it. Let us run the race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Point number one, we need to remove any distractions in our life. You know, Rick Warren in the written message, he says, the way we do that is we need to simplify our life. And he listed some distractions. I want to share them with you. Number one, a big distraction that we often deal with is we try to be like other people. We look at their life and we admire it and we try, and it's good to learn from them and be encouraged, but sometimes we do it too much because you are unique to run your own race. Here's another one. When you make wealth your primary goal, making money, here's what happens. We become off-centered. When money is the sole object or the primary motivator, let me tell you, inside over time, we just don't feel good about life. It's a distraction. Here's number three. Maybe it's a habit. It's something in your life or mine, that personality or whatever it is, we need to deal with. And that habit sidelines us. Here's another one. Wrong friends. You know, we're called to live among all the people, and there's some people that are tough to be around, and we just have, that's part of life. We want to be the salt and light to them. But if our inner circle is made up of the wrong friends, let me tell you, that can be a great distraction in running our race. Here's another one. How about social media or TV? It can distract us from our goal and mission in life. And so, how about this one? The expectations of others. Parents have expectations for their kids. Peers, friends, have expectations for our lives. And so we have friends that we live with and do life with, and everybody has expectations for us. And if we're not careful, we end up running the race somebody else has planned for us. Now, there are times we listen to other people. There's a balance here. Don't get me wrong. But the problem is we can get sidelined or sidetracked from living out someone else's agenda for us. But I want to tell you a big one that can distract us. It's our past. When we spend a lot of energy on our regrets, or we have guilt in our life, or a sense of condemnation for our past, you know what happens? It drains us. And the grace of God wants us to deal with our past. Here's why. So that the energy we put into that can be redirected into our future. And when we do that, we feel better about life. We can become emboldened about the future when we deal with our past adequately to deal with any resentment, hurt, guilt, grief. Otherwise, the past is a ball and chain that holds us back from the purpose God has for us in our future. So we have to eliminate these things called distractions. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 3. Forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race. When you think of your distractions, and God will bring them to your mind very quickly, if it's your past, go to work on it through grace to get free of it, to get freed up to live the future God has for you. I've got a couple pictures here, quotes. Distraction is a killer of dreams, visions, and goals. Understand, if we get going in too many directions, we don't have our priority right of putting God at the center, we can feel splintered. And here's another quote. Starve your distractions and feed your focus. There's a real simple remedy, a formula. Starve your distractions and feed your focus. All right, let's go to number two. The second thing that helps us get through tough times is this. Remember the reward. Remember the reward. Read with me 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 26 in your notes. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your best. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. You see, we have to understand God's reward system. We are people who misunderstand it. You see, God has a system for our past. He promises that if we confess our sins, He will forgive them and He will remember them no more. In other words, the bad stuff you have done in life that I have done, grace will forgive it and cover it. It will not be held against us. Get freed up with that thought this morning. If you have given your life to Christ in full surrender, grace covers everything you've done wrong. You won't be held accountable. You'll be set free of the penalty of sin itself. The good things you've done, here's what happens. God knows in heaven every good deed you've ever done. And you know what? He's going to reward you for it. He forgets the bad and forgives it. And He will reward any person who continues to do right and good during this lifetime. Here's what the writer said in Hebrews 6. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith, and then get everything promised to them. Heaven will reveal your rewards. He won't remember the bad, but He will reward you for everything good. Now, there's an amazing verse in Matthew chapter 10. I want us to read together, which shows us the simplicity of the reward system. Let's read it. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Here's what he's saying. This is the words of Jesus. If you give somebody a cup of cold water, you're going to be rewarded for it. If you go visit somebody in the hospital, you're going to be rewarded for it. If you're intentionally kind in what you say to a neighbor, you're going to be rewarded for it. If you are kind in the face of someone who's angry to you and you handle it the proper way, you're going to be rewarded for it. He will reward even when you give a simple cup of water to somebody else. So get freed up this morning. Your past can be forgiven and released, and your future, everything you do, you'll be rewarded for. Now, why is that so important? It's this. It's a motivator during tough times. When things get rough, is it really worth it to be good and to be kind? Yes, it is. You know why? You get rewarded for it. Your reward, my reward, will be in proportion to the intentionality of goodness we do today going forward. It's that simple. Could be big. Could be small, but it's part of God's reward system. So number one, remove distractions from your life, whatever it is. Number two, remember there's a reward for when you continue to do right and good. Number three, and this is a biggie. The third thing we need to do in finishing what we start when you feel like giving up is this. Resist all discouragement. Resist all discouragement. Read with me Galatians 6:9 in your notes. let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up. Real simple. If we stick with it, we'll be rewarded for doing good. Now, you may be here this morning, and let me share some areas we all get discouraged in. Our health. Maybe you're in a season of deep physical struggle with health. How about this? Finances. Sometimes we can get really, down about or discouraged about financial situation. How about marriages? There are tough seasons and you got to work through stuff, and it can be discouraging at times because two people aren't on the same page. How about this one? Your children. Maybe you're here this morning and your daughter, your son, is not what you would like them to be, or they're not walking a certain path. Or it could be a multitude of things, but it's a source of discouragement. How about this? Maybe you're here and you'd want children and haven't been able to have them. There's a sense of discouragement with that. And so the list can go on forever. But here's the point. We have to resist all discouragement. Read with me Psalm 94:19 in your notes. Lord, when doubts fill my mind, when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and cheer. I want you to circle the word cheer. You see, we have to raise the cheer factor in our lives. What does that mean? Somehow we have to push against discouragement and be renewed with hope so that we are more cheerful people. The cheer factor. Now, here's what Philippians 1:6 says. Let's read it together. God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished. In other words, God's not done with you yet. We are a work in progress, are we not? He's still working, so we have to walk it forward with him. Now, I've got about three quotes or pictures I want to show you. Here's the first one. Charles Stanley passed away this past year. Let's read it. Disappointments will come and go, but discouragement is a choice that you make. Now, let that soak in. There will be times in life when circumstances deal a big hit to our heart. We'll just feel bummed out about it. But discouragement is a choice we make after that. Now, here's a slide. I think I showed it last week. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you what? React to it. Now, let me drop an insight into your life. Discouragement in your life is in that 90%. You either have a high amount of discouragement, which is a choice in that 90%, or you're pushing back against it and say, you know what, it's a choice. I want to become more cheerful. I got to ask God for renewed hope so that I don't get swallowed up. But here's the point. Discouragement is a choice. And you and I find that choice in that 90% window. And so we find here that God is saying, wait a minute, I'm at work in you. Don't get discouraged. If you do, push back. You got to find renewed hope. Do it every day. And God will greatly help us. So here's the last quote on this point. Don't be discouraged. It's often the last key in the bunch that opens the lock. Hang in there. Stick it out. Go to work on finding renewed hope so you become a more cheerful person. That's what God does. He's at work within us. So in your notes, it says, where do you need to be more persistent in your faith? And these are just some examples. And I'm going to walk through them, all right? How's your daily time with God? How about this? Praying for family, marriage, or your small group. In other words, how's that part of your life, your prayer life for other people? Maybe we need to be more persistent. Sharing my faith with friends who don't know Jesus. How are we doing in that category when we leave the church building and during the week we are a mouthpiece of encouragement and to point people to a faith in Christ? How about this one? Tithing and giving. Maybe we started doing it, but then finances got tough and we kind of got out of control and we fell off that plan. And maybe that's something we need to revisit. How about an exercise or diet? We start it, we stop it. And this one I really enjoy. Controlling my anger, words, or thought life. Listen, maybe the biggest struggle in your life is what you think about yourself. The greatest limitation is not from other people. It's what you think about you in relation to your future. It's our thought life. And instead of saying, God, I'm your child, I'm going to trust you for my future, I'm going to believe you for your favor, your goodness, you'll go before me, we are somehow locked in a prison in our own minds that I'm not worth it, I'm unworthy, and we discount ourselves. It's like a lid on top of the jar that needs to come off because we are limiting God because of what we think about ourselves. And the last one, trusting God with my pain and my problems. These are all areas that we all get discouraged in at times, but the point is this, we got to push back on it. You know why? The degree of discouragement in your life and mine is found in the 90% of how we react to whatever happened to us. We have a choice. As Charles Stanley said, disappointments are going to happen, but then from that point on, God help us with our choice of attitude going forward. So number one, remove distractions. Number two, remember your reward. Hang in there. Keep doing good. Number three, resist discouragement. It's a challenge for us all. And finally, number four. The fourth thing we need to do to finish what we start when we feel like giving up is this. Renew myself daily. Renew myself daily. I got a picture that I want Jake to put up. Go ahead, Jake. There's somebody here that needs to see this to get a visual of what God wants to do for you. He's the big plane. He's the supply tanker. We are the smaller plane. And we're running low or just about out of fuel. We can only fly as long as we have fuel. And so call this a mid-air refueling experience. There's a connection between the big plane and the small one, and there's a download of fuel to refuel the tank. And so the principle here is you and I have to renew ourselves daily. My hunch is there's some people here this morning that you are on empty, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and you almost, maybe you're out of gas. Maybe the needle is on empty. And what you need is a refueling. Now, let me share some simple thoughts how to get it, all right? Read with me. Psalm 127:2 in your notes. God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. This is basic, folks. How's your sleep factor? If we can get a good night's sleep, doesn't it just make the next day awesome? Guard your sleep parameters and get good sleep. That's the first step. Vince Lombardi said this, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Football coach. He said, when you get tired, all of us can become a coward. All right. Read with me the next verse. This is why we never give up. Our spirits are being renewed every day. This is big. You need to be renewed in your spirit every day. And you know how you do that? You connect with the tanker. If you don't take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, you open the Bible, you read a chapter, your devotional book, some kind of a good study. If you don't, and I don't do that every day, you know what's going to happen? We're going to keep flying until the airplane is out of gas and we'll crash. And we find here that our spirits can be renewed every day. How do you do that? You connect with the tanker every day. And the more days we go without connecting to the tanker, the closer we get to being on empty, and the crash is coming. Let's read the next verse, Hebrews 12:2. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. You know, Jesus endured the crucifixion, the cross, and he did it in keeping his eyes on God the Father, and he walked through it even though it was painful. But here's what it's saying. Where is your focus this morning? When Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on water, he saw Jesus from a distance, and he's walking towards Jesus and everything is going good. You know what happened? He took his focus off Jesus and he saw the waves. That's circumstances. And he began to sink. Now, if your focus is on the waves of your life, the circumstances you find yourself in, let me tell you, you're going to sink. Been there, done that. You and I will sink when our focus is not on Jesus himself, but we're looking at the waves. But when Peter then cried out to Jesus, and Jesus, it says immediately, he reached out and he grabbed him. Peter got his focus back. And when he got his focus right, he was lifted up. The same water that God wants you to walk on is the same water that can drown us. It's where our focus is. And so Jesus, when Peter focused his eyes on Jesus, you know, he got back at it and life was good. So here's the point. You may be here this morning and you may feel like you're sinking. And let me give you a clue of why you probably are. I've lived it myself. My focus was wrong. I was watching the waves. I got sucked up into it. I got tied up. And the waves are big. It's scary. I can't believe this is happening to me. And I'm rehearsing and focusing on the waves, and I begin to sink. But when I shift my eyes and fix them on Jesus, let me tell you, I can be rescued. I can walk on the water, not be drowned by it. Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. In other words, he's saying, if you and I keep the faith, be persistent, he's cheering us on. That's what we need to do. We need to finish the race God has given to each one of us to run. So let me do a review. If you feel like giving up, here's what we need to do. Remove any distractions. Number two, remember there's a reward for continuing to do good. Number three, resist discouragement. The degree of discouragement is found in that 90% factor. Number four, renew yourself daily. I think there's people here today that need a mid-air, mid-flight refueling. And we get that when we try and get a good night's rest, we try and eat good. We spend time in the presence of the big tanker, God himself. And let him, through his word, renew our spirit. Our tanks are refueled. We feel better about life. We can keep flying. We can keep moving forward at the pace we are. So let me give you three final slides. Here's the first one. Every day you wake up with the opportunity to renew, refresh, and reset. You realize that's your opportunity? Okay, here's the next one. This is how we do it. Let's read this together. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here's what this verse is saying. If our past is dragging us down, we have to go and look at it through the eyes of grace and let God redefine it so that the energy we put toward it can be redirected. The graces and the mercies and compassions of God are new every morning. Every morning. So every day is a new opportunity. We deal with our past. We want to get released from it. We want to get focused and centered on him so that we can run the race for us for the day, for the week, for the months, and the years ahead. Here's a final slide. Never give up on what you really want to do. The person with big dreams is more powerful than the one with all the facts. God wants you to be a powerful person. You know how that happens? You got to remove what's the distractions. Be motivated by the rewards. Push back on discouragement. Renew yourself daily by connecting with the tanker. That's God. Let him refuel you. You know, I think there's some people here that you have a dream in your life, and you just need to continue to push forward on it. There's others that may have started with something, or you're going to step out in faith, do something new, but you've backed off it. Or there may be a group of people here that are just holding back in life. What does that mean? They're kind of on the sidelines. They're getting up and going through the day, but there's no real engagement on the inside of following and pursuing a bigger dream. And we're just kind of doing life. They're holding back. Figure out where you're at. What is it that God wants where he's showing you where you're at? Because here's the deal. The person with the big dream who is willing to follow it, commit to it, decide, take action, move forward, make a difference in your family, in your community, where you live, in the world, that person is more powerful than a person that just has the facts. Dreamers are incredibly powerful people. And when we get ourselves lined up with what God purposes for us, let me tell you, we have been created to dream, to do amazing things. He will take ordinary people like us and do extraordinary things through us if we give him that opportunity. Let's bow for prayer. Take a few moments of just listening and being still before God. And let him show you where you're at. If there's any area you've given up on, or maybe there's an area you just need to step up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to push back on discouragement. And I'm going to embrace the dream to act on it. The biggest step in getting a dream fulfilled in our life is to make sure that we have Christ at the center. And I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently after me if you like, to commit or recommit ourselves to Christ. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. I confess I need your renewal today. Forgive me of all my sins. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life, or I recommit my life to Him. I make Him the center part of my life. May He be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. And now I just want to pray for each person here that God will take you and fulfill the dreams He's planted in your life. Father, you know every person's prayer this morning, and even those watching online. And we ask that today, where we may have given up, where we are discouraged, you will help refuel us and refresh us, and we will make a decision in that 90% factor to push back on all discouragement. And I pray your blessing of renewal and hope and cheerfulness upon each person's heart here today. Make us powerful people who have the dreams of God in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.